2 Chronicles chapter 32, beginning with verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And now skip down to verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this word today. I pray, Lord, that I would just be able to make this understandable to everyone here. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would light a fire, and that you would help everyone to see the important truths that we want to bring out today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about how to multiply the blessing. I think this is a very important message. In fact, I think it's probably one of the most important messages that I've ever brought to you, how to multiply the blessing. My goal is to not only help you get your prayers answered, but then also to sustain the momentum that comes from answered prayer so that you are repetitively getting your prayers answered. I want you to build to and add to and increase the blessing that God has for you. I don't want you to look at prayer like you young people would look at getting gasoline money from your dad. Or let's suppose that you're going to a youth group and you come to your dad in a youth group activity and you say, Dad, I need $10. I need $5 for the activity and I need $5 for food. So what happens is you get the blessing and Dad gives you $10. You have fun at the activity. You go out to eat after the activity, but you come home and you're broke because you spent the whole $10 that your dad gave you, and you're right back where you started from. The purpose of prayer in the Christian life is not just to have God give you what you need, enjoy what you have, finish the event, and then go right back where you started from because you don't have any money left over. The Bible teaches that for a righteous man, the blessings of God should abound and abound. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 14 says, Saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So in God's blessing, he wants to multiply the blessing. And after the blessing has been multiplied, in that multiplying, he wants to multiply it again. Now, to use the financial illustration, I'm just using finances as an example this morning. It's something that we can all relate to. Prayer is like getting the $10 from Dad, but making more with the $10 so that when I have used that original $10, I have things left over. And for the next activity and the next event that I want to go to, which would be a better activity and a better event, I have the resources, I have the means, I have the blessing to go and to get it done. Let me illustrate. When we were about 1999, I think it was, when we were building the new parsonage, I remember the Sunday morning I gave out 70 brand new $1 bills. We had 70 people in church that morning. Everybody got a dollar bill. And it preached on the talents. You remember that? And said, now you take this dollar and you go and you use it, and in 90 days we're going to come back and we're going to see how much money has been raised from that $1 that you were given. And I tried to go back and find out how much we had actually given. I couldn't find that out, but I remember that that $70 turned into thousands of dollars. And somehow some people were very creative, and some people pooled their resources together. Some people began to make bread and to sell it. And that's how the pop machine got started in the church. The youth group started that, and then they took it over for a fundraiser. And God multiplied that original dollar, and eventually we were able to pay. I'm not saying because of this, but eventually we were able to build that parsonage debt-free. And then we were able to sell the old parsonage that we had and put the money toward this building. And I want you to see how God has multiplied things, and He's caused us to abound and abound. And in multiplying, He has multiplied us. Now, I'm not saying that this is always going to happen financially. And if somebody's here today and you're having financial struggles, it's not necessarily because you haven't applied the principles that I'm talking about this morning. You need to make sure that you have applied these principles. But sometimes God allows us to have need as a trial or as a test to see if we will rely upon Him and remain faithful to Him and trust Him. Other times people suffer lack and have need so that the body of Christ can come together and meet that need. That's the reason why we need each other. But there are principles in Scripture that would help us to multiply the blessing, and I want you to understand this. So I go to God and I want $10, but I really want more than that, because rarely do I want anything from God that is confined just to the request that I'm asking for. Isn't that true? When you ask God for something, there's really a lot more to it than what you're asking Him for. And if you get the answer to that prayer, you're going to need more after that. And so every answer to prayer opens up another opportunity, and it requires a greater need and a greater resource. So I go to God with a bigger request. You know, Dad, this is a $20 activity this time. And God is able to meet that request. And you go to God and you say, God, this is a $50 activity and event this time. And God meets that need. And God, this is a $100 event and activity that I need this time. You know, if you think about it, the prayers that you pray today are much larger than the prayers you used to make. The prayers that I make today are much larger than the prayers I used to make 30 years ago when I was going to college. The need, the resources, the opportunities in life just keep building and building. So I don't want to just keep getting from God the request and then turn around and go right back to where I started from and say, Lord, I need that same thing again. I want to multiply what He has given me so that when I finish the event, so to speak, I can go to a bigger event. And when I finish that event, I can go to an even bigger event, and I can always get what I need. See, in the Christian life, you are either growing in the Lord, and if you're growing in the Lord, you're going to need more from God. If you're needing more from God and you're not getting it, then you're a hungry Christian. And if you're hungry for the blessing, but if there's something that you are doing that is depriving yourself of that blessing, you know, quite honestly, you're in the place where a lot of preachers fail. You're in a place where a lot of Christians give up. They need things from God. They're not getting it. They become disillusioned with the Christian life. And things begin to happen in a negative way. You know, as I was thinking about this week, you know, I've been so grateful to God for the growth that we've had over the years. And I'm not interested in our church peaking. I am interested in sustaining growth. And that's the kind of growth I think we've had over the years. It's been a slower kind of growth, but it's been sustained. You know, some churches, they peak, they top out, and then they begin to fall backwards. But I would rather us be like a snowball going down the mountain. It's gaining force, it's gaining power, it's gaining momentum, and it's gaining speed. I don't want to wind up at the bottom of the hill with the same size snowball that I pushed off the top. And so the way to multiply blessings in the Scripture is really rather simple. There were many people there who unfortunately stopped the blessing, but the way to start the blessing and the way to sustain the blessing is critical. Do you know that the church in the book of Acts grew from 120 people to over 100,000 people in 2 years? And they would have kept on growing, but God needed the gospel to go into all the world. And so he sent persecution. And he scattered those Christians everywhere. And because those Christians, though, were scattered, they took the gospel with them everywhere. And that's how the church grew and spread. And because of that, you and I are here today. The same thing needs to happen again. And if we don't learn how to multiply the blessing of God in our lives, in our families, in our churches, then God has to do something. And the way that he will then spread the gospel is to bring persecution and to break his people up so that the gospel can spread to other places as well. I don't want to have God have to send persecution because we failed to multiply his blessing. Now in our text we read about a great man named Hezekiah. He was a truly godly king. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Now, you don't need to turn there. You can listen if you'd like. If you want to turn there, it's fine. 2 Kings chapter 20 is the counterpart to this story. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. So Hezekiah finds out that he's going to die. Prophet tells him this. He begins to leave. And even before he gets very far outside, God says, I want you to go back and tell Hezekiah that he's going to live. And it says in verse 6, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee of this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, said, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. An incredible thing happens here. He finds out he's going to die, and so he begins to pray and cry out to God and shed some tears. The prophet comes back and says, Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer. You're going to be healed. Give me some proof. And God does a miraculous thing here. Gives him an incredible sign. He's like, give me what I need, Lord. Heal me. God does, gives him 15 years. But God is watching to see how Hezekiah responds to this, to see if he is going to multiply the blessing or diminish it. Right here, right at this moment, you find the critical point where God decides if he's going to give you increase and blessing like never before, or if he is going to cut it short so that you are a small, blessed Christian. God blesses us in response to our prayers and our faith. Now, in Kings there, it shows Hezekiah being healed. But in the book of 2 Chronicles, it tells us that Hezekiah did not render again according to the benefit done unto him. Hezekiah prayed. He got the answer. He got the thing that he wanted. But then he failed to do something. Something happened in this response cycle that really cut the blessing of the Lord short. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 31 says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. So here's the thing. You pray unto God. There's that initial prayer. God steps back to watch what response you are going to have following his blessing. Therein is the critical point of multiplying the blessing or cutting it short. How we respond to blessing and victory and honor determines the continual blessing and victory and honor. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 32, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them and all the coasts of Israel. Different verse in the Bible, different place, but it's talking about the same time, same time frame. God cut Israel short. He didn't give them all the blessing that he wanted to give them. He cut the blessing short. That's a troubling verse to me. God saw that they were not responding to the blessing the way he wanted them to respond, the way he taught them, and so he says, look, if you don't respond to me in the right way, then you're not going to get all the blessing that I want to give you. I'll have to cut it short. This is where some people turn away from God. It's where some Christians just start becoming stagnant in their Christian life. It's where some older Christians say to young Christians who are on fire for God, it'll wear off someday. But the Bible says that we are to abound more and more. God is not interested in a spurt of growth. God is interested in a life of growth. How do you do that? How do you do that? Let me show you a negative example, and then I'll show you about a man who did it right. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I'm giving you a lot of verses to the scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, beginning with verse 11. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver, $750,000 according to Dake. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to, what? Cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? What am I going to do? I've already given these people $750,000 to come and fight for us. That's a lot of money to lose. What am I going to do with that? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. He sent them away. He said, I decide I don't need you guys after all. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. So here he is. He's going to go fight a battle. He didn't think he had enough soldiers, so he hired 100,000 more guys, paid them handsomely. But the man of God says, don't use them. If you use them, God is not with them. This will hurt you. So what am I supposed to do then? Well, let them return home. What about the money I gave them? Let them keep the money, but send them home. God's more than able to make up for the money. Just let them keep it, send them home. So he sends them home, and they have a great victory. great victory. Let's look at the response. Let's see what happens in the response cycle. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 14 and 15. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? That's a great question. Bad response. Can you imagine this? He has this great victory over these guys. And then he brings the conquered people's gods before him and begins to bow down and worship them. Those gods who could not even deliver their own people, he now begins to accept and worship in his life, and he forgets about the God who got him the victory in the first place. How kind of a crazy response is that? The multiplication of God's blessings are dependent upon your response to God's blessings. If you respond the right way, it's like interest on your money. There's a guy in the Bible who got it right. And for that right response is found in Solomon. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7? Second Chronicles chapter 7, we'll begin with verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. So Solomon had built this great building, and he prayed. Remember, that's really the first response is to pray. And he prayed and he said, God, we have built this great building, but we have built it for you. And God, we just want you to come and make your habitation here, and we want you to do a great work here. He wants the blessing. And when he's done praying, when he's done asking for the blessing, God answers. God sends the fire. The fire comes down. And God is all over that place. The glory of the Lord fills that place. And then Solomon did something. He did something so specific and so powerful that when he got done, God blessed him so exceeding abundantly that he had more than any king who had ever lived. What did Solomon do to multiply the blessing? What do we have to do to multiply the blessing of God on our lives? Because you know what? We have built a beautiful building here. It's like Solomon did. And I'm sure that your prayer is like my prayer. God, we want you to come and fill this place. And we want you to show your power here, and we want you to be manifested here. And we want to see your glory fall. And if we could take the same response that Solomon had, I believe that God will continue to multiply his blessings upon us. But I also think that if we fail to do what Solomon did, God could cut it short. And we'll never experience all that God has for us to experience. We won't get the full extent of the blessing. So what is it that we need to do that would ensure multiplied blessings? Look at verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped. First thing that they did was they worshipped. If you have the magnet card today, as you came in, hopefully every family got a magnet. If you didn't get a magnet, raise your hand. Some didn't. Do we have any ushers? We have some magnets left. I want you to put down these points on that magnet, and I want you to hang it on your refrigerator or put it someplace where you're going to look at it a lot. And just keep looking at it until you get to the place where it just becomes habit to you, it becomes routine. Maybe if you have to carry it in your pocket or instead of hanging on the refrigerator so that you are reminded of it quite often, do that. Okay, how to multiply the blessing. Number one there on there is worship. Worship. When God hears your prayer, the first response He wants is worship. Worship is a very affectionate term. God wants us to bow down. He wants us to recognize and honor Him for the blessing. Worship is what you see when you see somebody come before the king and they bow down and they take the hand and they kiss it. That's an idea of what worship is. God wants your love. God wants your affection. He wants more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee. God wants my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. From thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior and Lord, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. God said the greatest commandment is for you to love me. God wants you to bow down, kiss his hand, so to speak, and say, glory. Lord, you deserve all kinds of glory. And if we don't worship him, we can't expect his hand of blessing the next time. God has done great things for us. But if we want him to do even greater things, what we do now will determine that. If we take God's blessing and say, you know, that's good. I'll take it. I'm glad. Okay, what's next? God says, wait a minute. Aren't you forgetting something? I want your affection. I want your love. I want your worship. God should hear from us in affectionate tones. God, I love you. What you did was incredible. Nobody could have done that. Only you could have done that, Lord. And I want to worship you for it. I want to tell you how wonderful you are. Charles Finney said, I spend more time thanking God after the revival service than I do begging for his power beforehand. Do you love on God when he does something for you? This is the week of Valentine's Day. We need to tell God how much we love him. And that's why I want you to carry that thing or look at it this week until you get in the habit of every time God does something for you, you just say, God, thank you. I worship you. You are the greatest. I love you. You know, we carry around prayer cards. Why not carry around praise cards? And every time we're reminded of what God has done, we give him the praise for it. Do you want, people say, well, I'm not that kind. I'm really not that affectionate. Do you want the sustaining blessing of God? Show God affection. Say, God, I want to love on you. I want to love on you like I've prayed on you. You know, we can get down to some serious business when we pray. God, I have a friend. Would you heal this friend? God, I have a loved one who's not saved. God, would you just somehow get a hold of them? Would you send somebody to them? Would you send the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin? Lord, would you please save them? We have a child that's turning from God. God, would you just get a hold of this child and would you take this prodigal son or this prodigal daughter and bring them back home? And we get serious with God and we can pray earnestly with God. Now we need to do the same thing when we praise him. We need to show that same kind of zeal in earnestness. This is the first part of the formula for multiplying the blessing. How you show God affection and after answered prayer shows him how bad you wanted it beforehand. When you show affection like you pray, the blessings build. God is a person, and he wants to know how you feel. He wants to experience those feelings. God is excited about working in your life. He's excited about what he sees. He's excited about what he sees here, and he wants to do more of it. But he'll only do it if we appreciate what he has already done. Based on your appreciation level, how much will God do? Your story in the New Testament about the 10 lepers. Says, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not thou 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. 9 got the outward cure, but there was only one who returned to give thanks. Only one received the spiritual blessing. One received the spiritual blessing. First thing you do is worship. Back to 2 Chronicles there, verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Second thing you need to write on that magnet is the word praise. Praise. Worship and praise are different. Worship is affection. It's an expression of endearment. It's like, guys, you come home from work, your wife meets you at the door, throws her arms around you, says, oh, I love you. I've missed you so much today. She's showing her affection. You don't say, wait a minute, before you tell me how much you love me and missed me, let me tell you how wonderful I am. Let me tell you what I did today, why I deserve your affection. You don't say that. No, you accept the affection. You accept the love. That's worship. But then when she says, what did you do as you worked at UPS today? You say, well, I stacked a lot of boxes on trucks. She says, oh, I think you're the best stacker in all the world. Yeah, I am pretty good, aren't I? Oh, honey, you are the greatest. Your boss must be so happy to have you for an employee. I bet you're the best box sorter in all the world. That's praise. Bragging on God is praise. Lord, how did you do that? Lord, how did you get that crowd of people here? How did you get those people to walk the aisle? How did you get those people to put their trust in you? How did you heal those people? How did you put that service together so well? God, you are so good. Praise is telling God you appreciate the work that he did. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Number three. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Number three on your magnet, offer sacrifices. Offer sacrifices, giving God a tangible expression of my appreciation. And whatever you give to God, he will multiply it, just like he multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed the 5,000. God, you are so wonderful. Here's an expression of my gratitude. Here's an offering of sacrifice. Whether it's offering of money or offering of time or whatever it is, something that you could sacrifice to the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. That's number 4 on your magnet, work. Go back to work. After the fire fell, the glory of the Lord filled the place. They worshiped, they praised, they offered sacrifices, and then they went back to work. You see, the work is the thing that caused you to need God's blessing in the first place. So you pray, God answers your prayer because he likes your response. You worship, you praise, you give an offering, and you go back to work. While you're working, you realize, hey, I need God. I need a blessing from God. And so you pray. God answers the prayer because he likes your response. You worship, you praise, you offer sacrifices, you go back to work. And the cycle just keeps repeating itself. That's the way God designed for it to work. This is the greatest life you could ever choose. The greatest life you could ever choose. So would you take that magnet, would you place it someplace where you're going to be looking at it a lot? And just look at it, and every time you look at it, may it remind you, what can I worship God for? What can I praise God for? Surely there's something in our lives, everybody's life, you can praise God for. And just think about what that is. And if you have the right response, even if it just seems like a little thing, a small thing, if you have the right response in that, God is going to multiply blessings in your life so that you have something bigger to worship and to praise him for. And as you respond properly in that situation, God will multiply that blessing so you have something even greater to worship and to praise him for. God wants to do this in your life. God wants to do it in my life. God wants to do that in the life of your family. God wants to do this in our church. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? Why would anyone rob themselves of God's multiplied blessing? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? We are going to, in just a moment, put this message into practice. That's why we've held off on worship and praise, so that we can do that. But even before we do that, can you right now think of something that God has done for you? And will you say, Lord, I just want to worship you. I want to praise you for that. God, thank you. You are so good. I love you so much. And if you would like to make a commitment today, a commitment to God, God, whenever you answer my prayer, I want to commit myself to worship and praise and giving and working. Could just God see your hand as a sign of commitment? Would you just raise it up and down? God, this is what I want to do. I'm sincere. And you know, and as you're doing that, you're saying, Lord, would you help me to remember to give you the praise and the worship you deserve? Would you just remind me if I tend to forget? Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you have made things in your word so simple. Lord, the way to salvation is a simple thing for us. The way to blessing is a simple thing. Lord, just help us to be always mindful of you and what you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. George and the worship team could come at this time. Let's begin just to worship the Lord.